The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Feels like everybody's been talking about the prophecy of the Heron. Picture 1984 meets The Matrix. A great tale. I've read it. It's a wonderful book. Craig Stanfill is the author. He's a computer scientist, a software engineer. If you have any concerns or reservations about, you know, Siri or Alexa listening to your every word or your smartphone outsmarting you, this is a book for you. It's great to visit again with Craig Stanfill to talk about his amazing book, The Prophecy of the Heron. Craig, I get good reports. I hear lots of people are buying your book.
Oh, yeah. It's doing well. It's off to a wonderful launch, and I'm getting very positive reviews on the book. I'm quite happy with how it turned out. And I think it's not just a good book. I think it's an important book.
It's crucial. I mean, and it's crucial because a lot of people are starting to sound the warning alarms about artificial intelligence. We could call it AI. Can you kind of talk a little bit about your journey in terms of this relationship between virtual reality and the real world? Obviously, this book stemmed from your knowledge of this world, your concerns. Talk to us a little bit about what made you write the book, The Prophecy of the Heron.
Okay, well, the first book in the series, The Terms of Service, follows a person named Kim from sort of a point of complacency to a point of rebellion as she learns what's going on in the society in which she's born, with the AI controlling everything she does and watching over her every move. And eventually, they push her too far and she rebels. And it's always been said that if you go too far, they're going to send you to the dreaded outer district, sort of hanging over your head as a threat. And so with the second book, I pick up Kim's story as she goes to the outer district. This is a very different sort of a world. In some ways, it's closer to the world that we live in today. The AIs are not nearly so intrusive there, but still they have their impact. It is a place where when you rebel, they send you there, they bring you back into control with crime and poverty. And crime and poverty here are used as a way of controlling the people. And I think that there's ways in which that is happening in the world that we live in today. And, of course, when you're in a world of crime and poverty, what do? You become dependent on the government, and then you have to follow the government's rules. And, you know, the police may or may not protect you depending on whose side they're on any given day. Mm-hmm. And that's very much the world in which Kim finds herself, where the only safety you create is the safety you create for yourselves, and you can't depend on the government to keep you safe. And once you become dependent on the government, you find that you're trapped.
The timing of The Prophecy of the Heron is so perfect when we read about and hear about China and the Chinese people pushing back against these draconian COVID lockdowns. You see this sort of uprising happening all over around the world, Iran. I want to ask you, Craig, about artificial intelligence displacing people in the in creative media, like writing and art, heck, maybe even, you know, talk radio. I mean, should we be concerned?
I think we should. What I see more and more today are artificial intelligence, the so-called deep fakes, going from monitoring reality to creating reality. For example, I read once about how an AI simulation of a newscaster, complete with graphics and everything else, I can't remember the exact citation, but was hosting a news program on television or something like that in China for some months. Mm. and nobody figured it out. And you could, as we all know today, if you get a journalist, so-called journalist, you can get them to say almost anything these days. They have very little integrity. So why not take it to the final step and just put AIs up there who will say absolutely anything that you tell them to do with a straight face, and it would never occur to them to even ask whether it's true or not.
Craig Stanfill is our guest. He's got this wonderful book, The Prophecy of the Heron, an AI dystopia novel. It's so good. And you go to Amazon, you can get the book. You want to go directly to Craig's site, CraigWStanfill.com, and it's STANFILL, CraigWStanfill.com. Go to Amazon, look for The Prophecy of the Heron. You know, there's been tons of headlines about Elon Musk and the Twitter files with regard to the Hunter Biden laptop suppression, the censorship. Let's face it, Craig, we know that if disinformation and even censorship are on the upswing. What can we do about it? What should we do about it?
I think the essential thing is for the media, the mass media, the news media in particular, to stop lying. And I really can't stop promoting propaganda. And I really can't put it any more succinctly than that.
Right.
They keep complaining about disinformation. The people on the left keep complaining that they're terrified that Elon Musk is going to be allowing the floodgates of disinformation to go swarming over Twitter, as if it isn't already. And as if the people who are making these charges aren't the biggest purveyors of disinformation in the country, perhaps the world. I mean, what were the two most salient and most impactful, right, in terms of actually changing things, bits of disinformation that we've seen in the last 8 years? It would be in the last 6-8 years. Number one on that list has to be the Russiagate investigation, which we know now, based on Durham's work, was pure fabrication. There was never any there. It was disinformation concocted by the Hillary Clinton campaign. And it dominated the news stories for two full years in this country. The most massive disinformation campaign in history, that Donald Trump was somehow working for the Russians, that he was a Russian asset, that he was literally a traitor. You can't imagine bigger disinformation. And when the whole thing fell apart and it was proved that it was disinformation produced by the Clinton campaign that led to all of this, what did they do? Did they have some soul searching to say, how did we get this so wrong?
Right.
No, what they did when they got caught was, well, this narrative's fallen apart. What narrative can we create now? Their response to getting caught lying was to simply move on to the next lie and pretend that the old lie had never happened. And, you know, then you get the Hunter Biden laptop, where the same people who are screaming bloody murder that Musk is going to unleash a torrent of disinformation are the people who had this classic disinformation campaign with a bunch of CIA alumni, all of whom were politically beholden to the left, none of whom had looked at any of the relevant facts, went there and said, this is Russian disinformation. And the liberal media says this is disinformation, and they use that as an excuse, not a reason, but an excuse to censor the New York Post on a story of great importance.
Right.
And when the people inside said, wait a moment, this doesn't fly, I see no evidence that this is Russian disinformation, they simply said, well, so what? Mm-hmm. So what?
Yeah.
It's not as if the truth's important.
Yeah, truth is relative. Craig, I've got a friend in California who just finished your book, and now we have a running gag. Be careful, we're going to send you to District 33. Much of the book takes place in this kind of violent setting called District 33. Why did you choose that setting, Craig? Where did that come from?
Well, to some extent, it came from the logic in the world, which is that's where you get sent when you've been a bad boy or a bad girl, as the case may be. And I needed to Kim to experience the consequences of her rebellion. But so that was sort of the literary purpose from it. But the more important purpose is to look at a different aspect of how the government and how those in authority keep you under control. And again, use crime and violence and poverty as a way of accomplishing this. It's a violent and complicated, gang-ridden society, and pitting those who rebel against those who are trying to win their way into the good graces of the government. And the more dependent you are on the government, they discover, the harder it is to get out. And so you're drawn into this web of ever tighter, trying to toe the line. And at the same time, the government provides no security or safety. In fact, at times the authorities egg on and create riots in order to provide a pretext in which to use violence against those that oppose them. And then, of course, on their heels comes the disinformation, where the people that have been beaten and killed and murdered and everything else are the ones who created the problem. And this gets back into sort of the metaphor of virtual reality in this book. We don't live in reality. We live in a virtual reality. Even if we live in the real world or think we do, we don't live in a world that is real in any sense.
Right.
The vast majority of what we learn comes to us indirectly, largely over the internet these days. And they can create whatever reality they want by simply deciding what they're going to report on and what they're going to not report on, and by lying and by fabricating and by saying things for which they have no evidence. I mean, this is why they're constantly getting out ahead of the narrative. You know, whenever something comes along that might be politically useful, the first thing they do is they establish a narrative before there's any fact.
Right.
They get out there 7x24, blasted all over the airwaves that, you know, so-and-so and such is because of radical, right-wing, extreme, racist, Nazi Republicans or something like that. I mean, coming from Joe Biden himself, supposed unifying leader of our country.
Semi-fascists, yep.
Yeah, semi-fascists, and accusing Donald Trump then of dividing the country, mm-hmm. which may be true, but, you know, there's a lot of people who can be tarred with that brush.
Fascinating guy.
There is no truth.
There's no truth, and this is what I love about the way this book sort of takes us through this dystopian scenario that, frankly, sadly, is reality for much of the world. Get the book. It's called The Prophecy of the Heron. It's available at Amazon. If you want to learn more about this fascinating guy who we're happy to welcome back, it's Craig Stanfill, CraigWStanfill.com, CraigWStanfill, STANFILL, Stanfill.com. Craig, thanks. Congratulations on the book. Keep fighting the good fight.
Well, thank you so much, and it's always a pleasure to be on the air with you, Mike.
You bet. Take care.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.